It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, everyone. It's Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach. And before we jump into today's show, where you're going to hear me say, hey, Closet Busters, it is time once again. Before we get to that, I just wanted to say happy National Coming Out Day. And the reason I think it's so important to celebrate National Coming Out Day, at least here in the U.S. and across the globe, if they do, I'm not sure that they actually celebrate this anywhere else. But the reason I think it's so important is because this is about stepping into yourself. It's about letting go of things that you just need to let go of. And some of those things are going to feel like things that you can't let go of. And you'll understand why I emphasize that in a few minutes when we get into the show. But I know for me, when I finally came out, which has been 18 years ago, yes, this is my 18th National Coming Out Day to celebrate. And it is, wow, almost 4 or 5 years since I've been doing my radio show / podcast and talking about National Coming Out Days via this medium. And I just want to remind you that it's important to live your truth and to be yourself. That's why I think it's also imperative to celebrate National Coming Out Day each year. Kind of like Christmas and New Year's, what I feel like is the thing that always reminds me of why I want to be who I am is when National Coming Out Day rolls around and I'm beyond all the craziness that was happening. This is why I stay solid in myself. I take a little moment on National Coming Out Day and I just be with myself and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, universe, God, higher being, whatever that is. It's the universe for letting me be myself. So with that, I'm going to say, get ready for the hound. Get ready for what you can't seem to get away from and enjoy your National Coming Out Day. Take care, everyone. Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It is me, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, that guy that helps you make those big, bold moves in life. And today we're going to do a little lesson learning. We're going to take you to some places where I hope you are listening, because you know what? Here's the deal. Sometimes, whether it's a lover, a friend, family member, man, those damn relationships, they just, I don't know, they seem to define us. And then oftentimes we find that those people that are in our lives, the ones that have been there the longest, are absolutely freaking the ones we need to simply let go and remove from our lives. And here's what I know to be true. Oftentimes, those changes can be really fucking difficult, and we struggle with them, and we don't know how we're going to get by without those people. But those oftentimes are the worst ones, and they just need to be let go so that we can get them out of our life to be fully fulfilled. And I'm bringing someone in who's got a beautiful new song from his upcoming album. His name is The Hound. So if we stumble over that in the interview today, just know it's kind of different when you're talking about someone in that kind of form. But I love his new single. It's called Can't Let You Go, where he's going to really share why this song came into being, talk about how we can go there in our lives. And actually, I'm going to take and twist it around to why sometimes we just got to let go so that we can come out and be fully who we are, living outside of the closets. Welcome to the show, The Hound. Hey, man, thanks for being here today.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
It is going. It's going. So you are fresh, done, doing the video, the music, everything. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on right now, man, for you. It's a lot of launch time, I bet.
Yeah, it's been really, it's been a great year. I mean, it's been a balanced year, let me put it that way. But I was in a band, and earlier this year, I decided to start doing shows solo, and I was just doing covers, and it was going great. And then I had an experience, and a song came out of it.
Awesome.
It was one of those songs that just kind of wrote itself, and I didn't at the time really have any intentions of releasing it or, you know, really kind of starting my own solo thing. But the song was really good, and every time I listened to it, I was like, you know what, this is good. I gotta explore this. And then I decided to release it as The Hound and shoot a video. And now I'm working on an album and performing a lot more this year.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I love it when these things happen when we're least expecting it, you know, because oftentimes those are the best things that show up in life.
I said this on another podcast, and it sounds very LA, but doors really do open when you sort of align yourself with what maybe you know you could or should be doing, but you're not. Things really start to open up, and that's been my case.
Amen. You know, you must be reading my fucking mind this morning, because I have been going through a big shift in my own business right now, where I've been known as the coming out coach for seven years now, and doing a lot of work in that arena, speaking on stages, talking about, you know, really helping people come out to live their truth. And what I've discovered is suddenly there's like a bigger story here. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before we came on the air that, you know, we're going to shift this whole conversation into a new brand called Life Uncloseted. And I've been really struggling with, okay, how do I make this shift? And just before we got on the air, I was in my mastermind group, and they're like, why are you struggling? Your mission is to help people make bold moves. That's what it's all about. And then here you are, you're saying doors really open when you do the thing you're meant to be doing. Da, da, da. And I know this to be so true, you know?
Well, like, you know, a lot of those, making those decisions sometimes doesn't even require you making the decision. It requires like an event that it just ends up happening.
Well, and it requires listening to yourself. I mean, that's the thing, you know. I know it's, you know, guys who come out of the closet, it's like, well, I think we make so much of a big deal about the event of coming out, when in reality, it's, we're just listening to ourselves. That's all we're doing. Yes, there are challenges, there's struggles, but we're just listening to that inner essence of who we are.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there are many different bottoms to hit, and I...
No pun intended, right?
Oh, I walked into that one.
Yes, but, you did.
I mean, I also think, you know, that when you have nothing left to lose, you can make bolder decisions. And a lot of times people come out or make those decisions when it's like, there's nothing left to lose.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, at the top of the interview, you said something that piqued my interest. You said it's been a very balanced year. I'd love to explore that a little bit. I mean, because that tells me something wasn't balanced. And the reason I'm going there, The Hound, is because I think so many people, when we're in these moments where we know we want to do something, you know, in my world, we want to make that bold move. And they think, gosh, everything has to be balanced. But sometimes I think the imbalance is what creates the balance. So I'm curious, what's made it a really balanced year for you, man?
God, I might have said that sarcastically.
Okay, well, that's cool.
No, but it is balanced. I've had both extremes. I've had really amazing highs and really difficult lows. But I think I thrive on that a little bit, for better and worse, to be honest. But this is compared to, I think, a year before, when I was a little more apathetic, and it was almost the opposite of the extremes. It was just okay. It was hard to say, you know, I feel great about certain things. And this year, you know, although I've been through some difficult stuff, and, you know, political climate alone, like, that always comes into play when someone asks me if I'm good. I'm like, how good can we all be, really?
Right. Exactly.
But that aside, when some difficult things have happened, with all the good things that are going on, it's not as difficult to sort of be in the dark place. It's a little easier to bring myself out of it. Even with, you know, criticism, if people have said something not so positive about the song or the video, it really hasn't. If it's someone I respect, I'm all for constructive criticism, but sort of like the trolley hate stuff, it hasn't affected me, because I love it so much. And I really believe that I've made great choices in, you know, the song and the video, and
So a little tidbit here that you shared with me before we started this is, you actually did a lot of the editing and stuff yourself on this, right?
I did. Yeah. I'm so a little control freak. Yeah.
Hello. High five right to you, man. Yeah. Same here. You know, what I find so interesting is, when we get the criticisms, the only time I take it really to heart is when it is someone that I know has been in the arena.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little Brene Brown here on this, but Brene always brings up, if you can't join me in the arena, then just don't even say anything. You know, if you haven't been in the arena with me, and I will take anybody's criticism who's been a podcaster, anybody's criticism who's written a book, anybody's criticism who's coached people, anybody's criticism who's stood on a stage and done public speaking, man, I will take their criticism in a heartbeat. But I will not take it from the, you know, armchair coaches on the sidelines going, oh yeah, I've never done that, but here, no, fuck you. You don't get to, you don't get to go play in that arena with me. So, so let's kind of dig into that space. I mean, I know this whole single came out of an experience. So what was the driver? I mean, there was obviously something big that went on that typically inspires those of us who are the creative types to go do something like this.
Yeah. I mean, it was love.
The big L word. And we're not referring to lesbians, okay? We're talking the big L love word. So,
God, I wish it was lesbians.
There you go.
Actually, I feel like it would have been a little more constructive if it was. But it was love. It was the best and the worst parts of love. Yeah, talk about extremes. That relationship was very extreme. It was really great highs and the most intense lows I've had with, you know, another person. So talk about hitting bottom. It took that relationship hitting bottom for me to walk away. I was going to say brave, even though, like, obviously there are a lot more brave things you can do, but I couldn't walk away from it. And, you know, to be honest, it still kind of sits with me. And
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, it's hard to shake. I might not ever shake it. And, you know, that's okay. I still love and respect the guy. It's just our dynamic didn't work.
But what I love about the vulnerability you're sharing right now, man, because I think this is a beautiful learning moment, is as much as we feel like we have to shake something, what I've discovered is the more we try to shake it, the harder it is going to be to shake it instead of just be with it. Just be with this and go, okay, what am I supposed to be learning right now? What is the lesson I'm supposed to be being taught? How do I learn more about myself in this moment? And, you know, I've kind of got my coach hat on right now as I was listening to him. I'm like, this guy's really taking this in. He's really allowing himself to be with this. You know? Yeah. And I think too often we mean like, okay, it's done. So let's move. We got to get done. We just got to, you know, it depends on the kind of person you are. So I'm going to be honest there that it depends on how you function. But I think more times than not, when we force ourselves to move through an emotion and say, you have to move through this, we're just going to fight.
Yeah.
We're literally going to fight.
And my personality definitely does that. I mean, there were plenty of flags. There were plenty of times when I knew this wasn't going to end well. Mm-hmm. I've made the analogy before. It just felt too good. Mm. It just felt too good.
Isn't that interesting that we use phrases like that? It feels too good. Yet we probably say that right out the gate. And then we roll the clock forward to a time like this. And we're like, yeah, we knew it felt too good. So why do you think we don't listen to those gut feelings that say this is too good?
Oh, I don't, you know, it's a dangerous place when you're an artist and you sort of get into this mindset of like, an artist needs to feel these certain things or go through these certain experiences or be depressed or sad or whatever. I do think there is part of me that is really fascinated and about those parts of mind and life. Not in that I'm just going through it just to get a song or anything, but you know, my life is driven by storytelling. And when you're in a dramatic story, just like a good TV show, it's hard to turn off. You're interested. It has your attention.
I also think, you know, I'm glad you're bringing up the story piece, because I don't think most of us could learn the most valuable lessons in life without being in the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the last time you were somewhere, and it could be, you know, you're listening to another artist, you're listening to your own stuff, or you go and you see a painting or a sculpture. And I'm going to go someplace where I love going to wineries. But if I don't know the story behind the wine, if I don't understand it, I don't enjoy the experience. I don't learn anything from the experience.
Yeah.
I think this is the piece where we fight the stories that we have and the stories that are given to us yet without the story, what do we learn? We have to have the story. And that's what I think is really cool about what you've done with this particular real life. And I know most artists do this. Real life shit shows up in our creativity. And then that creative stuff becomes the beautiful thing that becomes the music and the song.
Yeah. And, you know, people, I've gotten a lot of messages over like Instagram and Facebook from people I don't know. And it's really been the first time in my music career that I've had that kind of response. And people are sharing a lot about what they relate to in the song. And it's really fascinated me with, you know, it's not just sick boyfriends or girlfriends, it's family members and friends. And, you know, I generally try and write in a way that's like, it's not totally specific.
Right.
This one, I didn't have that intention. This one definitely was just like a channeling experience. Yeah, yeah. But once I step back and listen to it from sort of a detached perspective, I could even start to relate to it in other ways other than what it was inspired by.
That's why I wrote in the intro that it could be the family member, the friend, the lover, whoever it is. Because we so often can't let someone go that we really need to, that's going to help us move forward. And as I listened to it, I told the hound just before we started recording that I was watching the video again. And I did exactly what you did. Okay, so this is going to sound weird. I'm watching the video, but I'm not watching the video. So let's really phrase that. I turned the video on and closed my eyes and listened to the words rather than watch the video that go around. And I thought, this is really applicable to so many people.
Yeah.
On their journeys.
So. Yeah. And I definitely guarantee it won't be the last time that I listen to it and relate to it.
Exactly. So this musical and creative stuff has been a part of your life for quite some time. And as I listened to it, I went back to knowing that you started in this business at like, what, 13, 14 years old, right?
I was talking with someone yesterday about being in elementary school, and I was sort of blessed with, well, elementary and junior high were horrible in terms of kids being mean, but I had some incredible teachers that just always gave me a platform to perform. I mean, there were handfuls of teachers in elementary school that after lunch break, they would let me sing in front of the class or do whatever I wanted to do. And so I've been singing and performing forever. I really don't even... can't even think of a time when that wasn't happening. But when I was 13, I went to an arts high school, and that was sort of the first time that I started really seriously doing it. And I was in an opera program there, and that really changed my life. Never thought I would be doing opera, especially as a teenager, but it was incredible, and it really shaped me completely. Yeah.
So,
and it's
just, so where does that fit into the current kind of vibe on the music you're doing today?
It's the storytelling. God, I'm like almost getting emotional thinking about it. My opera teacher.
Yeah, I've done it again. I've taken a guess to that emotional stuff. Yeah.
So. My opera teacher, there were about 25 kids in the program, and she just always gave us roles that she knew we would sink our teeth into and have, you know, character journals and just really... really dive in. And that stuck with me the most. And of course, you know, there's the performance aspect. When I perform, I feel like it's very theatrical, and I'm not the guy in the green room getting drunk. I'm very like, I think it also prepared me for just being very professional, even sort of in a pop rock world. But more than that, I think it's really the storytelling. And that's not always the case with, you know, some, the classical world can value technique over acting more sometimes, but my opera teacher was always about the story more than the technique. And I mean, obviously there's technique involved. I don't want her to listen to this and be like, she taught me technique, but she also showed us that sometimes it's less about the pretty note and more about delivering the story.
So here's something I'm going to share with the listeners. The listeners can't see this because this is only audio, but we're both on video right now. And one of the things that struck me as the hound was just speaking is it's about being very present. Mm-hmm. And I find it so fascinating when I'm doing these interviews, if the other person's on the camera, but to see how present you were as you were talking through that. It was about being present, and I'm telling this vulnerable piece about myself. And I think this is something that people miss when they realize I'm going to go through this moment. And instead of trying to escape this moment, you know, you said you were getting really emotional, but you were also very present to that.
Yeah.
Is to just allow yourself to be in it. Don't try to rush away. I mean, I think so much of our coming out journeys and our trying to be who we're meant to be and living our life in a way that is truly fulfilling is we feel like we can't be present to it, even though we really, really fucking want to do it. We keep taking ourselves out of that presence of let's go do it. And then that's when we stumble and fall. And even as you were speaking about the opera and stuff, I could just see it. It's like, I'm going to let that be present in what I'm doing. And as soon as you said, you know, I want my performance to be theatrical, I felt it. I felt that part of you.
Well, you know, a lot of times, and you're a mentor, so you know this, it's people aren't given the opportunity or the tools. And I was getting sort of choked up, just thinking about how special that was, that I did have that experience, and it not a normal thing. You know, it's not an average thing that happens to people. And I definitely consider myself really grateful. And I really think it takes mentors or teachers or even just a friend. But, you know, if you have those things, it's really easy to forget that there are more people that don't have those tools.
So what is one of the tools that you feel like you've been given that's most enabled you to be who you are as an artist? And I'm not talking necessarily technical stuff, because there's something here. There's this beautiful thing that's happening right now that I'm just sensing there's something within you that somebody fostered.
Well, I mean, also, I got to say my mom. I am an only child, single parent. I'm not a single parent. I'm an only child that was raised by a single parent. And, you know, she just, I can't think of a time when she was not supportive. She just really pushed me to be myself and pursue my dreams. It was always, it must have been really difficult for her to send me off. You know, I took a train like every day at 4 a.m. from Santa Clarita to the Cal State LA campus, which I guess if you're not from LA, you don't know that, but it was like a 45 minute train ride, and I didn't get home until 6 p.m. You know, 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. in high school is a lot for a parent to not know what your kid's doing. Right. So she just really always just wanted me to pursue my dreams, and she's still that way.
Here's the thing, Dad. I think what you're describing right now is so touching, and you know, I'm starting to feel a little bit of the emotion too right now, because I think this is the piece that gets missed. And I know somebody's going to be listening to this going, okay, but I don't have that parent. I don't have that person who really
did.
And what I'm going to say is that's okay. You can find someone.
Trust us, you can find someone. If it wasn't my mom, you know, like I said, there are some teachers that I was in sort of the town that my like elementary school was in, and I saw, I think it was a seventh grade teacher of mine, and I went up to her and I told her how much she affected my life. And, you know, like I said, I'm really blessed to have, you know, a mom that was also supportive. That doesn't mean I didn't have other family members that made childhood difficult, but she really is one of a kind. And I just performed at DTLA Proud, which is a Pride Festival in downtown LA that got started 2 years ago. And I performed, and a lot of times my mom doesn't get to see some of the stuff because a lot of the gigs are like at midnight and she, you know, that's not really her jam, but she got to see this one. And leading up to it, I remember she asked me if it was okay if she like made signs. And I was like, Mom, tone it down a little bit. Tone it down a little bit. She's like, what about shirts? And I was like, nope, tone it down a little bit.
Have fun.
So at the end of the set, I could see her the whole time just living her best life and and just beaming with pride. And at the end of the set, she surprised me and ran up to the stage and handed me flowers. And It caught me really off guard, and I said on the mic, God, I don't even remember exactly what I said. It was something like, this is what the world needs. My set was a little political, and I just said on the mic, like, this is what the world needs. Good parents make good people. And she really stole the show, because after that, like, I was walking around the festival and so many people came up to me, and I could tell that they had like tears in their eyes earlier and just telling me how incredible my mom is. And even after she gave me the flowers, I could see on stage that when she walked back to the audience, like, all of these strangers were walking up to her and hugging her. And you know, it just, I can't really say enough good things about her. And she definitely inspires me to not only be a good parent in the future, but just be a good person and a good friend. And, you know, like you said earlier, not everyone has a supportive parent, but there are other people that can play that role. Mm-hmm. And they're there. They really are. I think a lot of it is just allowing yourself to be yourself through the difficult times, because then you really find the people. Like, you're not going to find, my mom wouldn't have a platform to be like, yes, pursue your dreams, if I hadn't already been like, I want to do this. I want to be on stage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know it's not that easy for a lot of people, and I'm very sympathetic towards that. But yeah, my mom,
yeah,
lovely lady.
It sounds like it. And you know what? Here's something that, as you were saying that, you know, good parents make good people. I think one of the things that I'm connecting right now through what you just did with the video and the music that you're creating is good people create space for people to become good people.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it's opportunity. And even the actor that's in the video, RM, which, you know, he's also Adam Ramsey. He does porn. I don't know him as that. I just know him as RM. And he had mentioned to me at the end of the shoot how he said something like that he was really grateful for the opportunity to do something different. And doing some interviews about the video, a lot of people obviously bring up the porn thing, which I understand. But the thing is, he's also an incredible musician. Like, I had no idea. And a great actor. And, you know, again, it's like an opportunity. It's just an opportunity.
Yeah, it's so interesting how we put, okay, for, and, you know, I don't know who, I mean, I don't know all the other interviews, but one of the things that I know as someone who does interviews, obviously, is I'll see something like that. I'm like, yeah, so what? That's, you know, I just interviewed Michael Lucas, again, big porn star. You know, I've interviewed Buck Angel, again, big porn star. I didn't focus so much on the porn. I'm like, okay, so really tell me about you. What else? Give me what else there is. Because the bottom line is, he may be a porn star, but the acting, the other stuff that he does, I know when I was talking to Michael Lucas, I was so amazed at all the advocacy work that he does. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, when was the last time you actually sat down with someone and you really said, oh, okay, so Rick, you're a coach. Let's talk about all the stuff you do as a coach or a podcast. No, what people, they will ask those questions, but when we get into the heart-to-heart stuff, it's about, tell me who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Really get to know what this is all about. Because when we can go to those spaces, and for those of you listening, this is part of what I would say is, I'm going to kind of connect it back to the title of the song, is when you can go to those deeper spaces of who somebody really is, then you can let the other stuff go. Mm-hmm. And that's when you grow.
Yeah.
You know, I know many people that I work with are going through that letting go stuff. Because a lot of the people that I'm working with are either letting go of a marriage, heterosexual marriage, to step into their truth, or they're coming out and they're letting go of families and stuff. And what I truly try to get them to focus on is, this is your destiny. This is what you've always been. This is who you are at your core. And if you don't let go of what was, you can't get to the most beautiful essence of you.
Yeah. You know, if it's scary, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yes, if it's scary, then just go ahead and shit your pants and clean up and move on. So there you go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, relationships and careers and all of that we really identify with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, imagining life without those things is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I read in high school, this parent gave us all in this opera program a book called Art and Fear. And it's a horrible title. I hate the title. But it's an incredible book. And it talks a lot about what artists go through in times of when they're not feeling as creative or they're not producing as much. They literally feel like not a person at all because they've said their whole life, I'm a musician, I'm a whatever. And when you're not doing that, you're like, I'm a nothing. I'm nothing. I'm not. But the truth is you are something, but you've identified so much with a label or a career or a person that imagining life without it, that's actually where the really exciting stuff comes into play, because you figure out who you really are.
Absolutely.
Without all that stuff.
So you set yourself up for it.
Oh God.
Who are you, man?
Oh God. Someone warned me. They were like, if you thought that other podcast was intense, just wait. He's like, there's actually a couch in the image. So yeah. Should I, like, you're going to send me an invoice after this?
No.
are you covered by my insurance?
Yes, exactly. No, it's like, it's a true essence. I mean, just a true essence. Quick answer, man. I mean, you could say I'm a heartfelt, you know, gay man.
Like I said earlier, more than a musician, I would say I'm a storyteller. And, you know, to be honest, I think we all are. I think that's at the heart of just the human experience, is sharing it. So I just share it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up here, man, I love the storyteller because stories to me are the beautiful essence of learning. If you could leave a tidbit of advice for someone who's struggling to be who they are, it doesn't matter if they're coming out of the closet in their sexuality or whatever it is, but if you could say, here's something I'd love to leave as my implant on this podcast, what would it be?
You know, fear is a powerful thing. We have seen it on full display this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's coincidence. I think a lot of people are going through transformative experiences.
Amen.
And it's coinciding with what's happening in the world. And I guess all I can say is we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, as much as you think you know what's going to happen, you really don't. And that can be a really positive thing. And if you're at a point in your life when you don't have support or people, things can change in seconds. Things can really just transform. And sometimes it really just takes you not stopping, and you have to keep going. And when you do what you love and when you follow your heart, good things happen. And that sounds like a cliche, and I know it. And I'm definitely a pessimist at heart, but it is true. It really, really is. There are a lot of people on this planet, and the negativity and fear can sound louder than the other stuff. But I do believe that there's more support than there is not. It's just the other side can be louder.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Oh, that's so yummy. That's like just a yummy way to end this podcast. I've got chills and I don't often get...
They're multiplying.
They're multiplying, honey. They're like Oprah on a bad day. So there we go. But man, I'm so glad we connected. And
Thanks, I don't just
say that, but I mean, I do say that at the end, but I rarely have a guest that I'm just like, man, I hated that. There's never been one of those. It's always, I'm so glad we connected. And
yeah, I could do this for like, I was really nervous before we started, but I'm like, I could do this another hour. Let's keep going.
So, all right, well, I'll send you a link to my schedule and then you can get on the couch and we'll really see how things turn out. Okay.
But LA care.
Yeah, exactly. So this is The Hound. I love his music. I love what he's done with the video. We'll have his video and all the links to follow him. Please follow him. Thanks for sharing yourself. Thanks for being vulnerable, like literally vulnerable, many, many times throughout this podcast today, man. I can tell
if we are thank you, Rick.
To hang, we'd have a great time together.
So. Yeah.
All right,
let's
brother.
Do it. Well,
hey, thanks again. And
thank you.
We'll catch you on the next video release, okay?
Yes. Talk to you soon.
All right, closet dwellers and closet busters, that's it. We're wrapping it up this week, another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for always being a listener. And something that would help us really get this podcast out in the world to reach more people who could probably use this kind of support to know that they're not alone would be if you would be willing to go out there and give us a beautiful rating and review on whatever platform that you're listening to the podcast, be it iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you are interacting with us on the Coming Out Lounge. That would be awesome. Also, if you would share it with people, send it in a link via email. Do it from your iPhone. If you're listening to podcasts on your iPhone, there's a share button right there that you can make this happen. And the reason for that is we want to get this thing out there where more and more people can listen to it. Also, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, would like to ask a particular question to be answered on the air, please give us a ring at 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559, or email me at rick@rickclemons.com, rick@rickclemons.com, and that's Clemons, C-L-E-M-O-N-S. We'd love to hear from you. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, that guy that helps you make those big, bold moves in life to go do the thing you're meant to do. Take care, everyone, and have a great week.